And this morning we want to welcome in Lena Abujamra. She's a pediatric ER doctor, an author, and a speaker who helps people live with power by connecting biblical answers to everyday life. Good morning, Lena. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, PK. Nice to meet you guys.
Yeah, good to meet you too. Is it accurate what we just played there? And I think you could hear some of those clips.
Yeah. It's awesome. My favorite is Jesus is your boyfriend now.
Oh boy.
Funny. It's right on the money. You guys did a good job.
Well, we found that thanks to YouTube there. But yeah. But you have a great resource in your book, Thrive, for singles. What was the inspiration for this book?
Well, I've been single a long time, and it helped to write a book about singleness. But, the people at Moody Publisher had seen me blog a lot about relationships in the 3 to 4 years leading up to that. And so they had approached me and said, hey, you want to write about that? And I'd lived a story, and I think a lot of books come out of story. I'd been engaged twice over the course of, I don't know, a couple of decades, and just had accrued a bag of material. And so it wasn't that hard to write. I think the Lord really had given me a life that matched the book or something of the sort. And so it hopefully is a book that's helping a lot of people because it's hard being single in the church.
It is. Mm-hmm. You're right. And we had talked yesterday about a topic about just not settling just in your everyday life, whether you're married, single, whatever it might be, but just really stepping into what God has for you. And I see so many times where singleness is treated as if it's just that holding place until you're, you're not going to be completed until you're married. How do you address that?
Well, and the very thing that God has given you as a single, which is the gift of freedom and being able to do more for God and to know him more, becomes really a crutch because you're kind of stuck in this pattern of, it's like you want to be content but not settled. And it's a fine line. I mean, I think it's a balance. And you really learn to get over that hump by turning to the Lord. And I think that's what the Christian really has to draw on. And no matter the situation in your life, I think that is causing you that sense of dissatisfaction. And I think singles, it's easy to pick on that area. But everyone has an area in their life that they're just feel like, you know, God hasn't quite done, you know, my 3-point outline in that area. And so that is the area that you're technically, that's what God's working on in your life, to turn it over to him. And the moment you surrender, I hate and I love that word at the same time, but the moment you surrender to the Lord, the very thing that's maybe causing you some pain is the moment you gain great freedom. And as a single, really the gate is wide open for you then to go and just be able to do things that you wouldn't be able to do if you were married, like the things that I've done in my life.
Well, one of those things is being a pediatric ER doctor, achieving that title and that profession. And how has that helped you, Lena, in your outreach to singles?
Well, it's interesting, too, because I don't know that there's necessarily a lot of single doctors. You know, I think it's really almost more unique to be single in the church in a sense. Although the statistics say that 43% of people in the United States right now are single. So it really almost doesn't matter where you are. You're going to run into other people who are not married. But I'm constantly talking to single parents and I work in the pediatric world specifically. So, I mean, if you're like 3 and you're single, I think that's not a problem. But I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
It's a little early. So,
yeah, I'm with you.
I know, it's a little late. I work till 2 in the morning. So
I know.
I'm sacrificing for Ted and PK.
Well, thank you.
But you know, and that's the problem. Being single, no one kicks you and wakes you out of bed. You know, you just got to kind of trust that your alarm clock is going to go off.
Yeah, right.
But you know, it's just, I think it gives you sensitivity to people. It's a point of need in your life. I think it is, even though I'm at a point now where I'm thriving and I'm grateful for where God's put me. And honestly, I don't wake up in the morning thinking, oh, I may meet Mr. Right today. Not at all. But it still has been in my life. And certainly if you read the book that I wrote, you'll feel that it has been in the past a point of pain. And anytime you go through points of pain and valleys with the Lord, it becomes a ripe, fruitful area that God will use to minister to other people, where you can understand their difficulties that they're facing and minister to them. And that's a good thing.
Have you felt left out of things, like in your church settings and so on, or like people aren't quite sure how to address you as an older single? Do they act kind of awkward?
Yeah, their avoidance, really, sometimes it's funny. And honestly, the older you get, the more you're happy to be left out of some things. You know? You're like, I'm glad I didn't go to that party. But yeah, there's always that one thing on Facebook that you really wanted to go to, and you kind of try to figure out, you know, what's the, you know, that picture where you think, what's the thing that doesn't match? And you realize everybody's married in that. And yeah, there are seasons in life when that becomes harder. Like there may be times when you hear that all your single friend, you know, the last single friend got married or is getting married. Mm-hmm. And that brings more pain to the surface. And then you have to kind of go back to the point of who am I in Christ and what is my purpose in Christ? I think those are such big, basic questions that we deviate from in the course of our day-to-day life. And I find myself having to do that again and again. And the Lord in his grace will put me in seasons where I have less to do and where I really am driven to reflection and prayer. And those are times when I ask those questions again and find strength in his word and in his presence. So,
real quick, too, kind of on the heels of that same question, then as marrieds, how should we address, you know, older singles,
right,
and then include you? And I really don't think about it myself as far as, oh, they're married, they're single, we're having a dinner party, it can only be couples. I never think of that, but I know a lot of people do.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't even necessarily think that people think of it logically. I just think it's become circles of friends, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, you're going to have people over, you're going to have the three married couples with kids, and you just assume that the single people don't want to come. And honestly, they couldn't be further from the truth. I think a lot of times it's a Saturday evening or a Sunday lunch, and they just go home after church and kind of like flick through the television or, you know, just try to say, or get together with other singles, which can sometimes be discouraging because then you're kind of whining about your plight. And honestly, what you're doing, I tell people who interview me all the time, what you're doing is so helpful. You're talking about it. You're bringing it to the surface. Our churches are almost half of full of people who are not married. So, and this whole idea of us versus them just needs to be completely eradicated. You know, mm-hmm. we're mm-hmm. church, we're the body of Christ, and I joke that when you meet good single people and they really learn to love you and be part of the family, you've gained a great babysitter, which is kind of really a joke because, I mean, that's the curse of the single. It's like the token babysitter.
Right.
But, I think just understanding that we are not demographics. We are people, we are children of the Lord, and we're part of the same family, and we each bring something to the table, and just making a conscious effort of including others in everything we do.
Lena Abu-Jamra is our guest here on Faith Radio Mornings. Thrive is the name of her book, The Single Life as God Intended. And we'll continue talking with Lena after a quick break. We'll take your calls also at 877-933-2484. If you have a question or comment about our conversation today, give us a call, 877-933-2484. More with Lena Abu-Jamra in just a moment on Faith Radio Mornings.
Talking about singleness this morning, and Lena Abu-Jamra is our guest this morning. She's a pediatric ER doctor, an author, and a speaker, and we're talking about life as a single Christian, just being plain old great. Do you feel that way, Lena?
Not this morning.
Yeah.
I do.
Right, lack of sleep, maybe.
I feel great. Ben and PK. I mean, does it get any better than this? This
is good.
Awesome.
Great. Awesome. Your check's in the mail. Thank
you.
Yeah,
we're good. Recording this. That's good.
Right.
That's a good conversation we're having about singleness. And from a Christian perspective, too, Lena, what do you think the church can do better? What's one or two things the church can do better to reach out to singles?
Yeah, I can't speak for all churches, and really, but everybody has this idea of the ideal church. If I was going to start a church, this is what it would look like. And It's funny because I think that they try, you know, and I find kind of an irony. A lot of the singles ministries are mainly led by married men, and it's nothing's wrong with that on one level. But on the other hand, you kind of miss the point because, you know, I get you have the word of God and you're speaking truth, but it would be so helpful to have somebody who's unmarried that is ministering into unmarried people. And based on the number of people in unmarried ministries, it seems like you would find somebody to be able to step up and do that. But maybe this is a chance for the Lord to work in some hearts of single people out there. You know, I don't mm-hmm. know. But I think, honestly, the biggest thing is to integrate them in the life of the church. I think that's it. It's, you know, the bigger the church, the more you see this division. Like, okay, your thing is on Thursday night at 7:00, and that's when you're supposed to show up, and don't mistake it. And, you know, and I think that becomes very isolationist and discouraging. And I think you become kind of, your church becomes this group of 8 other single people or 10 other single people that just doesn't feel natural.
Mm-hmm. And you're always stuck with them.
Yeah, right. Or the only other place that you can find an outlet is sometimes in children's ministry. And having worked at church for several years, trust me, they have a desperate need there. And I love the single people who do roll up their sleeves and do that work. But there has to be a wider range of opportunities to mix the singles and the married and with the youth. And honestly, I can't put the blame on the church. I think I learned, and I talk about that in the book, that at some point, the single person, I had to come to a place in my life where I was like, wake up, Lena. You're the one who's free. You're the one who's been given this book. You're the one who has been called to ministry and to Christianity and to Jesus Christ. So do the work yourself. And I started meeting more people in the church, and I started just getting involved in people's lives. And rather than looking for them to meet my needs, I started looking for ways to meet their needs. And where I get in trouble now is when I fall back in the pattern of feeling like, well, what about me? You know, and you kind of get in that little pit, you know, I fall in a pothole of self-pity. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. And it's almost like every year you have to go through that season of construction. We all know that in the Midwest. And it's like every so often you get those little potholes. And if you leave them be, you're going to have a disaster. But if you tend to them and ask the Lord to kind of help you out of them again, then and find yourself looking out and saying, hey, here's a big church. I have a lot more time than people who have a couple of toddlers running around the house and meals to cook every night, et cetera, et cetera. And what an opportunity for us to, as single people, to really minister in the life of the church. And we can be such a big blessing.
Yeah. And you just mentioned the word freedom, and you've got some personal stories, too, about freedom. Is there one that stands out in your mind of what's been afforded you?
Well, you know, I talk a lot about freedom in the book, and I feel like lately I talk about it a lot in my life. And I love the concept of freedom. Of course, we're coming up to July 4th soon, and we live in a great free country. I have such a sense of that, having grown up in Beirut, Lebanon, and in West Beirut in the 70s was not a free place. I mean, we were living literally in danger from bullets and shrapnel and bombs and air raids. And so we learned to really value freedom. And you know, I always think about the concept of moving from Lebanon to Green Bay, Wisconsin, which is kind of ironic and probably has caused me a lot of the problems that I currently have in my life. It was a big culture shock, but we were so thankful to move, and we were so happy. You know, it was like growing up, we had this vision of life in the United States where, you know, white picket fences and open the, you know, front door and have people play in the yard. And I know it's not realistic in our given 2013. And yet, if you go into small town USA, you still have a sense of that freedom. And I often think about how it would be if you, kind of having moved from Lebanon, went to the basement of our home and stashed up some water and some bread and turned down the lights and got some candles and kind of closed the door and waited and kind of hovered in the dark. And people would think we were crazy. We were afforded this great freedom in this country. And so the answer is to take advantage of it. And I feel as Christians, sometimes we get stuck in that trap where we're given such great, great freedom in Jesus Christ. That's what he's promised us. And yet we often find ourselves covered in a basement somewhere with a stash of water and a stash of bread, living on a fraction of what is afforded to us in Christ. And I think for the single person, even more so, Paul talks about the freedom that we have in him in 1 Corinthians 7 to be free from anxiety. This is probably my favorite line in the chapter. And truly, the single person has a level of freedom from anxiety that married people may not have financially and time-wise and relationally. And so let's take advantage of it. And I think that is when you really thrive, is when you see all that God has given you and live in that zone.
That's some great words. Lena Abu-Jamra is our guest here on Faith Radio Mornings today. She's author of the book Thrive, The Single Life as God Intended. Lena also serves as a women's ministry director at Harvest Bible Chapel in Chicago as Pastor James McDonald's church, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah. Great man. I love him. Yeah.
I think he's going to be on our show in the future here, in the near future. But maybe somebody listening right now wants to step into more of a life that thrives rather than just survive, as you're mentioning. What's the first step? How can people make this transition?
By the book. No, just kidding.
It helps.
No, you know, I've had friends. In fact, I can think of my friend Amy right off the bat, and she read the book and it impacted her. And so another good friend of mine, Tanya, and some of the things, like right away, they felt that connection of this is somewhere we want to live. And one of the easy ways that they've been able to put that in practice is they've had a love for travel, for instance. And so, again, you think about, it's not like a punishment God has given us as single people. On the contrary, I mean, think about travel. It's an awesome thing. And so we're planning a trip to the Middle East in a month. And it really stems out of them coming to me and saying, hey, Lena, we really want, you know, we have a heart for the world. We want to see what's going on. And so we're going to be going and doing some different work over there. But it's that constant question of living in that new sense of today's a new day. What does God have for me today? And is there something that I can be doing to serve others? And you kind of get a more global sense of the world. We live in a big world, but it's become very small, thankfully, to the capabilities of technology. And you get on a plane and end up anywhere. And I think even something small like that, like plan a mission trip, and do find what you're good at. If you're into construction, go build a church somewhere. If you're into business, go help a church that's struggling, you know, in a third world country with maybe a business model. Give them a, teach them how to do something that they can, you know, kind of like the whole microfinancing. I mean, we could sit and talk for hours about the things that you can do. Think small and start where you are, and God is going to open up new ways and new doors. I think that's the thing. You don't have to do it all. You just have to take the next step. And God is faithful then to meet you there and to open more doors and give you more opportunities. And honestly, and that's what happened with writing for me. I started writing a newsletter, which turned into a blog, which turned into a book. And I don't know how God is going to work in the listener who's listening now, but I guarantee you that he who called you is faithful, who also will do it. And he says the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. And so pray the Lord of the harvest. Start by praying. Get up in the morning a little earlier and pray, and God is going to show you ways that he can use you that will blow you away.
We only have about a minute or so left, Lena, and this is such a big question, but do you have just a quick thought about holiness? You address this in your book, and, you know, self-control over temptation, and this is good for singles or married, too.
Right.
I don't want to just, you know, point at singles.
Right. I actually talk very candidly, and I'm surprised we didn't get this till now.
Yeah,
and
I know.
seems like I'm talkative in the morning. I apologize.
No, you're good.
I do talk a lot about it because I felt in reading books about singleness that it was kind of skirted around often, but people just didn't use like the big M word for singles. I mean, that's kind of the single version of sex, right? And if some of your listeners are like, huh, what's she talking about? Just get the book. I can't even say it on radio. I'm a doctor. I can say it. But, you know, I felt like the only way to help people is to be honest about the struggle and to be honest about God's grace and his deliverance and the freedom that comes in grace. And so if you are struggling with areas of lust and you're not even activity per se, but even in your thoughts, see, we buy ourselves a lot of self-righteousness by saying, well, I've never had sex with anyone and I'm not doing that now. And yet our minds are filled with filth. You know, and as a single person, there's a sense of, well, it's my right because God hasn't provided and God hasn't met me and I feel gypped and all of those things that come along with living in a society that values sex so much. So I think it's critical for us as Christians to know how to fight that. And there is great freedom and there is room for thriving. And so I hope that you can, those of you who are listening who may be dealing with stuff in that zone, get the book and get help because there is freedom. Mm-hmm. And you're not the only one who's gone through these struggles.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's awesome. A good challenge for all of us. And it's so great talking with you this morning. I wish we had more time. We'll have to have you on again because this is such a huge topic.
I so enjoyed talking to you guys, too. Thanks for having me.